Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry, always am. Today we're joined, Terry and Max, as usual, but we have a guest. Oh my gosh, we have a guest on the show who has not appeared with us before. It's Dave from the Falcon Blues YouTube channel.
How's it going, fellas?
You all right?
Dave, it's awesome actually be able to talk to you because I've watched your videos. You know, recently saw an interview you did with you and I guess Paul did with, is it Kevin Campbell and Al Myers? Watched that. And you also did, you interviewed Big Nev as well.
Yeah, well, not just Neville. We've done Peter Reid a few months back as well, the weekend before the derby.
So yeah, that was my favorite one.
We're making waves. You know, everyone wants to be on our YouTube channel, which is great. You know, but I think my favorite probably the same. Peter Reid's. You know, he was such a down to earth guy. He was just willing to talk to you and have a good laugh and take the piss out of you as well, which is what you want. You know, you'd say don't meet your heroes, and you know, meeting someone like Peter Reid is like, this fella's sound. You know, Nev's just Nev, and those who've been to evenings with Neville Southall just know, you know, he's sound, but he can be hard work at times. But you've got to try and coax an answer out of him sometimes. But no, he was great. You know, he was willing to. He was there before us. So, you know, me and Paul were late. You know, so we showed up late and was like, oh shit, Neville Southall sat upstairs waiting for us. Like, what do we do? And we just went in and just got on with it. You know, rather than thinking, oh yeah, Nev, sorry we're late. We're just gonna start recording now, as if it was nothing. As like we just made ourselves late for Neville Southall, and it was so nerve wracking because of that. Because we were like, okay, we've got to get on with it now. He's got a show downstairs in the Falcon pub where we record. I was like, time's of the essence now, and we're already late. But, you know, he was a good sport. He was really, really good. And some of the things he was coming out with, you know, for the future of Everton, just if you're from Liverpool as well, some of the things about, like working with the homeless and things like that really, really touched the nerve. And it's like, wow, yeah, we should do, and this is the kind of things we should be doing. And you know, more recently we had Kevin Campbell, and Kev was amazing. You know, he loved the dicky bow, which I was so nervous about. I thought, if I'm going to wear the dicky bow, I'm going to have to wear a royal blue one and just be nice. And he recognised me as soon as he came in, and I didn't have the dicky bow on, so that was really good to say, like, oh, you know, getting on first name terms and everything. And you know what Kevin's like. He's to the point, and he knows what he's talking about. And then you've got Alan, who is just Everton through and through. You know, the stories that man has got, I'm pretty sure he's saving up to write a book, because it would be volumes. You know, he could go through each season and have a book for each one. It'd be absolutely amazing. I'd love to have him on the show a lot more, where he'd just sit and, you know, talk for 20 minutes and monologue about whatever went on in this season, that season, this FA Cup run, or just an hour about Paul Gascoigne. You know, some of the stuff you talk about with Gascoigne, and it's like, freaking hell, the man's a loon, but he's such a big heart. You know, it's almost like him and Alan became like best mates. There's a brilliant story about when he went on Question of Sport, which I won't spoil. I'll leave it for Alan for another day, but it was so good and typified Gascoigne. And it was just to have these opportunities as well is such a big thing for me and Paul, because without what we do on YouTube, we'd never have this. You know, we'd just be showing up to the evenings where, you know, it's my brother-in-law's pub, the Falcon. We'd just be showing up of a night, having a few bevvies, having a couple of pictures. This time we're getting to sit down with people who, you know, Kevin Campbell saved Everton. Let's just say that. And to sit with them and to talk about Everton is just amazing. And the things that we're getting, these opportunities are brilliant. You see, like, Toffee TV doing it and all the other ones. For me, to do it, I can't believe how lucky I am sometimes. It's great.
Yeah, one of the things that I notice about your show and what you guys do, you talked about how people were just relaxed and they'll just kind of, you know, joke around. It's because you guys set a tone for that. That's kind of, you just seem like you'd be like really fun to hang around with. And
oh,
I think
I'm
that's,
hilarious.
That's, well, I mean, that's the brilliant of it. A lot of times you sit there with a beer and you're just kind of hanging out, and that's, you know, that's the tone, you know, yeah, and that's I feel like a lot of people want that kind of a change sometimes, you know what I mean? Something that's,
yeah,
it's just cool people to hang out with and have conversation with, you know?
That's it. Cause every time you don't make it rigid. We try not to, you know, we set out what we want to talk about. And if we miss it, we miss it. We're just two lads having a pint and having a chat like you would down in the pub with your mates anyway. And that's the kind of theme that we want to try and keep. We've done it so far and it works, you know, and we're happy with the format.
I think that's one of the key things I know when we were starting up. It's like, how can we do something different? How can we do something that's not already out there, that is also, you know, making sure we're touching a, you know, different parts, different demographics of the Everton population of the world,
yeah.
You know, and that's one of the tough things is finding your niche and your tone and all that kind of stuff. And you guys are definitely striking a chord. I think it works really well for interview segments very well because you just make them relaxed.
Well, that's it. Well, when we go to the pub, it's free drinks for us, so we're half pissed anyway when we're going on. So it just makes that a little bit easier, you know, that little bit of extra Dutch courage does help.
So you mentioned something that I identify with a lot, and it's that whole thing of if we weren't doing this, all right? Mm-hmm. Me being Joe Schmo American guy, the closest, I mean, the only connection I would have with Everton would be sitting in my den wearing the shirt while games are going on and my family's all wearing their stuff.
Yeah.
And that would be my connection, and maybe reading Twitter, and that would be about it. But now I actually get to come on here and I learn a lot about the club talking to these guys. We get to sit here and talk analysis. We get to sit there and talk about the team, how much we fucking love this. You know what I mean? Like it's great. Yeah. It is a different level of appreciation that I could not have conceived, you know, many years ago when Jelavich made that, you know, put in that late goal against Spurs that made me an Everton fan. You know what I mean? Like it's a different world, and I feel lucky as hell. You know what I mean? Because I'm jealous as hell of these guys. They come on here and they tell me these amazing stories. They're like, oh, I remember when Tim Howard gave me his shoes. And I remember when I sold Seamus Coleman some shoes. You know what I mean? It's just these amazing stories. And I'm you guys get to kind of brush elbows with heroes like all the time. It's friggin' cool.
Well, I'll leave you with one before we move on, if you want to carry on. I was actually born on Goodison Road. My folks still live there now. You know, I step out the door to my mum and dad's and turn right, and Goodison is at the bottom of the road, like literally 150 yards away. I've just given away my mum and dad's location there, but I come out the door, turn right every day and see Goodison Park. And that's something that I've always taken for granted as well, in a way, because I've always gone, oh, well, yeah, there's Goodison. Everton was shit. I'll go left and go another way, you know. Or Everton played well, I'll just go past the ground and see, like, try and get a feel for the atmosphere and stuff like that. And, you know, even all this stuff over, like, Bramley Moor and, the like, moving to the docks and things like that, that is going to probably hit me more once we move.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, that's really going to, you know, I will probably cry buckets when we move from Goodison. Probably a lot of people will, but having that sentiment of living on Goodison Road, I'm 37 years of age. I'm still going there on the Sunday now to my mum and dad's. That to me is a privilege, you know, and I've taken that for granted for so long. But then having all these interviews and talking about Everton all the time on YouTube and talking with other Evertonians over Twitter and stuff like that, especially yourself, speak to guys in the States, it's like, fucking hell, I live 150 yards away from Goodison Park. And, you know, everyone goes, wow, you're so lucky. And I go, it's all right. But in the end, that's just me just taking it for granted. You know, it's something that I'll be proud of that for the rest of my life. It's like, well, you know, I lived on Goodison Road. I've heard it all, you know, I've heard Bayern, I've heard the 4-4 game. I've heard, you know, the seasons where we were struggling with relegation in 93 against Wimbledon and stuff like that. And just seeing everything, but not just seeing it like 5 o'clock, everyone's gone home, seeing it like, till 6, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night when stuff's been going on. I've been there and lived it, and I do take it for granted so much.
I think it's easy to do that though, but if you have opportunities to kind of realign perspective every once in a while, I think it's those people who kind of realize that, where you're like, you know, I was taking it for granted. You kind of get that refresher where you're like, oh yeah, this is good. Like, I took for granted going to film school and having, like, people in the film industry come in, and you're just like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember talking to Terry and Max about some of that stuff, and I'm just like, well, they were my professors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm sitting here, like, you know, just salivating over them talking about, you know, oh, yeah, Salt Lake, Maine's no big deal. And we're just like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's easy to kind of have those things that are a constant presence. But if you have the perspective to be able to step back and say, yeah, I'm lucky. And
definitely.
And yeah. Hell yeah. You know, not everybody gets this. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm one day I will go on a pilgrimage to England and actually be able to visit these guys and, you know, and be able to actually watch a match, you know, and hopefully it'll be a good one and not, you know, a shit one. So yeah, that's something. It's a family trip that's planned.
more shit ones and good ones lately, but you know, we'll talk about the good ones definitely today, you know.
Yeah, that's the nice thing is we got a good little run going. We're smiling with our eyes. It just keeps happening, which is fantastic. So let's go ahead and move into the football a little bit here. For the podcasters out there, this is what we have in store for this big show. Arsenal reaction. Good things. Yeah, should have been a worse score than that. So that's a spoiler alert. Just stay tuned. We'll give you more on that. Next, we're going to talk about DCL. So if you notice, we're not really going into DCL as much as we should in our Arsenal reaction. Chill, because it's coming. All right, you're going to get there. All right, and then we'll do a quiz. Dave joins us for the quiz. It's going to be these three dudes duking it out. Because frankly, I would be like a Care Bear in there, just getting beat down in the cage match. It would not be competitive. I'd be just guessing random numbers. No, it'd be more funny than anything. So I'll host it. I'll play the Pat Sajak on this. And it'll be all right. The Bob Barker, if you will. Because it is a Price is Right style kind of show. All right, so Arsenal reaction. Pretty damn nice little performance that made my Sunday. I'll tell you that right now. We're going to lead with Dave here because he is the guest. Terry, you're a regular now. You can't go first all the time anymore. All right? But Dave is the guest. We're going to lead with him. And just, I wanted to save this for the video because I felt like the YouTube audience needed to know this. Earlier, we were having some issues with our sound. We had a little echo. We thought it was on Dave's end, and Dave proceeded. He had a nice little clip-on mic, two mics, and to try to solve the problem. This is the kind of guy he is. He took a pair of scissors and just clipped the cord, clipped the cable, just in half, in the hopes that it would solve the problem. It didn't solve the problem, though. And it turns out we just had to fiddle around with you know, headphones and whatnot. But that's the kind of guy he is. He's just taking matters into his own hands. So I wanted to make sure everybody out there knew that because it's just a damn fine story. It made me smile.
Because Dave's an idiot, basically, and he's just ruined a perfectly good USB and microphone. So, you know,
but good,
for all for the because I love my art.
Good intentions. Good intentions, you know. So, Dave, let's... I think right now everybody looks at the performance and they say, wow, everybody played well. Can you talk about who your personal most important player was yesterday? And then just kind of ramble off wherever you want to go.
I think for me, obviously, man of the match was Calvert-Lewin. But for me, I think Garner Gay.
Mm.
Just, I think he's probably still running.
Yeah.
If you look outside, he's probably still running somewhere. The lad just did not stop. He was breaking up possession in the 18-yard box. He was bombing forward. Between him and Gomez, the ground that they made up and the, you know, working together was just unreal. That, for me, yesterday was summed up what we want to see as Evertonians with this Everton side. You know, we struggled with, you know, the second half at Newcastle. We had a piss poor first half against Chelsea. But you, there was always signs that something is there in this team that can, you know, once it clicks, it's going to click well, and we're going to give someone an absolute thumping. And yesterday, we could have won that at a canter if we, you know, it's still early doors for Everton. You've got to look at that. But I think we could have won that easily had we had a proper striker in, 3 or 4 goals in before half time. But for me, Gomez and Garner Gay just typified Everton for me, what you wanted to see. Plenty of endeavour, loads of passing, plenty, and just being niggly and wanting to put a foot in, wanting to be snide. And that's what I love about Everton. I want to snide Everton. Yeah. I want a team that is willing to go and have a go at the referee, leave a boot in and get the crowd going. And that is what was typified yesterday. I think we did it with aplomb. I thought we were excellent. There's too many plaudits for the way we played yesterday. Or not enough, rather.
Yeah, I think yesterday was another really good example of, I mean, this press that Everton are starting to employ is becoming this defining characteristic of our squad. Watching us yesterday, Arsenal couldn't string passes together, because every time they got anywhere like near the center, one of our guys was either pressuring them to make a bad pass or niggling and sitting there just knocking the ball away. Ghana Gay and Gomez were on everyone. It was, I don't know, it's funny when you look at that spine through the center, DCL, Sigurdsson, Gomez, and Gay, the pressing that you see them do, pressing those passing lanes like that and then just converging, it's been nice. Terry, you can comment on what we were talking about just then, or you can talk about your most important player. And by the way, by the time it gets to me, there's going to be all my answer's going to be gone, I'm sure. But go ahead, Terry.
Well, I just like back up everything that Dave said as well. Just, you know, Garner and Gomez just ran the show. But for me, the best player on the pitch, even including DCL, just for me personally, was Bernard. What a little player he is. He was unplayable for that Maitland-Niles didn't sleep last night, because he was scared that Bernard was going to run at him with the ball again. He was absolutely brilliant. We're starting to see some of the best, you know, some of the real best football of the season now, and he's been central to it. Bernard, he got man of the match against West Ham. He was great against I think it was Cardiff. He was good in that game as well. But some of the flicks and tricks and skills that were coming out yesterday, that little back heel sort of through ball that Gomez got into.
Yeah.
It's get off your seat stuff. It was absolutely brilliant. And there's like a gif going around of when he's got the ball and he's just fighting two or three markers at different points and retains possession. He's only small and he just couldn't be muscled off the ball. He's absolutely fucking brilliant, Bernard. We're starting to really see it now. Took a while to get going. He's been in and out of the team. He wasn't particularly playing poorly, but he wasn't having a massive impact on statistics. He wasn't getting assists or goals. It was, he was still figuring out the league, and he was, you know, coming off long spell out from Shakhtar. So it's taken him a while to get up to speed. But if this is his level, then what a little player we found there. Just that left hand side at the minute. I think Dean and Bernard have got that boxed off for a while, because the two of them together, Arsenal could not live with them. Absolutely. I gave them a torrid time down the left.
Bernard. I think that was a huge talking point after that one. The funny thing is, he signed for free, but was actually with that huge signing on fee and with his weekly pay being what it is. He's actually a pretty expensive player. Honestly, worth it. Totally worth it. And one of the more fun players to watch right now. He's creating from the wing. And again, when we first signed him, I didn't have a lot of experience with him as a player. I'd only seen a lot of... And I was thinking, okay, he's probably going to end up in the center for us, because he seemed like one of those central creative little players. And now it's like I don't want to see him anywhere else. I want him wherever he wants to play, and keep him there. Really.
You might have been supporting Shakhtar, though, when you lost him for free. I mean, I know they absolutely took the piss and got that money for Fred, but imagine losing Bernard and he didn't get a penny. We're paying a lot, but we're paying it all to Bernard. Didn't pay anything to Shakhtar. Yeah. It'd be absolutely sick if you lost a player that good for free, wouldn't you?
But Shakhtar tend to reload with Brazilians pretty quickly. They have a lot of them. So, Max, you've been so patient, like the gentleman you are. So, what are you thinking about your most important player on the pitch? By the way, my answer's not taken yet. Fingers crossed. Max, are you gonna break my heart here?
Well, my answer's been taken. I was initially going to say Bernard, like you mentioned, that is cutting of the passing lanes, you know, from a left winger. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely fantastic. That no-look back-heel pass was just a piss take, and putting Maitland-Niles on his ass was, you know, a sight to behold. Funnily enough, like, I seen it come up on Twitter, like, the, you know, the official Everton account, Premier League, whatnot, saying it was, like, 5 years ago to the day when we beat Arsenal at home 3-0. When we were in Martinez' first season in the pursuit of the Champions League. I don't quite think that performance on Sunday was to that level or to that standard. I largely think that was down to, you know, just not converting the chances that we had. But to you know, pick my man of the match, if I can't say Bernard, I'm going to have to say Phil Jagielka. Like, to, you know, to not initially even be in the starting 11.
You've taken it.
Have you? Oh,
you broke my heart.
You know,
I'm sorry, Jenny. No, hey, there's three people going on here, man. If my answer was of any credit at all, it's probably going to be taken. You know what I mean?
No, I thought that's just, you know, that epitomises being dependable. That epitomises being captain of a football club to step in, score your first goal in 2 years. Like 10 minutes in, get that early goal, give us the world of confidence. It was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we'd only really seen him after that 17-day break where he came in for the Cardiff game. And, you know, other than that, he hasn't been a regular. So to contend with the, you know, players of the technical ability such as Ozil, Mkhitaryan, Lacazette, and in that second half, Aaron Ramsey and Aubameyang, you know, and to slot in alongside Zouma as he did to cover Coleman on the right-hand side too, it was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, to credit Idrissa Gueye as well, to kind of come full circle, I think because Phil Jagielka had to slot in so last minute, I think Gueye was on his toes defensively a lot more and had to cover and drop deep. As a consequence of that, I think it allowed Andre Gomes a lot more freedom pressing forward, and I think that's why we've seen such a, you know, dominant performance in the midfield.
With you mentioning Jagielka, I'm just thinking there, it was good to see. Because when you looked at social media, it was like, oh, fuck, Jags is back in. Jags looks massive. It's like, for him to just come in, play as well as he did, and to stick those comments down people's throats, is, for me, is captain. That was just spot on. I was really proud of Jagielka yesterday, and he should be proud of himself. You know, he might not get all the games, but when he does, he's come in and he does a job, and that is... That's what he's paid to do. That's what he's always done for the last 12 years that he's been at Everton. He's made himself, you know, indispensable to the club. You know, you look at it and you go, well, how long has he got left in his career? Maybe 2-3 years max, if that. And then you go, but he can fill in the gaps. You know, we didn't have Mina, we didn't have Keane, you know, we didn't have Mason Holgate as well, who's on loan. So for Jagielka to step in 10 minutes before kickoff, full credit to him.
It's something that I'm noticing with these veterans. You know, it's all, we actually have some quality veterans. Leighton Baines, someone goes down, Leighton Baines slots in, and he's great. And we don't really take much of a step back. We actually have some veterans of character. You know, and that's an absolute professional. And I it's realigned my perception on having veterans in the team, to be honest with you. Maybe it's not a week in, week out thing where you want to rely on them every game. But if they're cool with slotting in every once in a while when you need them, you can't beat it. You know, that was I was doubtful. I'll go ahead and tell you. Before the game, they were warming up, and my six-year-old goes, hey, Dad, why are those men talking to Keane? And it was the trainers. They were out there on the field talking to Keane. And I was just like, he's probably got a little knock. No big deal. Well, my six-year-old had better intuition on this than I did, because I went to go grab some coffee. I come back, and my wife goes, Jagielka's in for Keane. And I was like, what? And I was a jerk. I was doubtful. I didn't put it on social media because I'm one of those who usually likes to see things out. You know what I mean? Wait, you know, a little bit. But full credit to that guy. That's probably to me why he was, because of my expectations were lower than I guess they should have been. Max, you got something, I'm sure.
Funnily enough, I didn't even know he'd come in. You know, I didn't know he was starting until the moment he came out the tunnel. Like, I'd rushed the game because I was a bit hungover from the national, and I see Dave got one of the kits on there. Like, I very rarely wear Everton kits now or Everton tops. Like, but I thought, you know, because it was hanging a little bit, you know, just throw an old top on, threw on the old 910. He's, you know, the 84-85 replica, the Lacoste Sportif. Funnily enough, guess who I've got on the back of that shirt?
Jagielka.
And you didn't put a bet on?
No.
You've already got in late, so yeah, he wouldn't have known.
He absolutely destroyed some bets with that, because no one backed Jagielka first goal scorer. They've saved the bookies thousands with that goal.
I know. Gutted. I should have sensed it, really, shouldn't I?
I don't know how you could have. That'd have been amazing, Max. If you're watching, our weakest moment of the match was after halftime. They had made some changes. They had adjusted formation, and they actually had more of the ball for a little stretch. And I was worried. I was sitting there thinking, well, honestly, I don't want Silva to make a lot of changes right now. You know what I mean? Based on what we had on the bench, I was thinking a lot of those changes would be better for later. And I was secretly glad. I was like, okay, he's going to ride it out. And you know what? I love the fact that they adapted, and all of a sudden they decided, you know what, we're going to go ahead and throw this press back on and just started dominating. It didn't really matter what formation they were in. You know, it didn't matter that they had Aubameyang's a player. Okay. He is a player. Didn't matter. Pickford was really close to having a day off on this one. It was just impressive the way we kept everything away from the goal mouth. You know, I will say that Mkhitaryan shot was a little close for my taste. Got me a little nervous.
It was a top defensive performance, wasn't it? You know, you've got to give full credit to the defensive formation. And as I said, they are, I know, sort of something that I found common across, you know, all the Champions League contenders this season. They have been very inconsistent, but, you know, they still have that technical quality to damage it. And the way we nullified that was absolutely fantastic.
So we definitely did. You look at the stats: 7 shots on goal, 2 on target.
We haven't even mentioned how many shots we've had yet. 23. You know, it was reminiscent of that West Ham performance, and like Jerry said there, up until half time, the first half, the possession was more neck and neck, and it was like that in the performance. It wasn't until that second half when Emery's decided to throw Ramsey on, to throw Aubameyang on, who, by the way, have, you know, solid return figures in terms of goals and assists against Everton, so you can understand why he's tried to do that. But that was only when the possession started to become unbalanced, and the only criticism of us you'd really have is we just got to start becoming more clinical.
I mean, if Sigurdsson put his boots on the right feet, like, I'm sure he had his left on his right and his right on his left, because he had about 7 shots. In fact, yes, Sigurdsson had 7 shots, as much as Arsenal's whole team had, and every one of them missed. He just couldn't release a shot onto the goal properly. But 23 shots at goal against Arsenal, suck that, Sam Allardyce. Sorry, but,
exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, he'll be quiet for a couple of weeks now. Like, can't play that way against Arsenal. You've got to bore them out. But tell you what, though, credit as well, Max touched on in the defensive display, credit to Luca Dean, because he took a knock in the warm-up as well and then got kicked everywhere.
He stomped on his ankle by Guendouzi.
He should have been sent off, because it was high and it was studs up and it was dangerous. Just because he doesn't leave his feet doesn't mean it's not dangerous. And he took the knock and then he got kicked all game, and he just battled through and kept the clean sheets. He's Luca Dean running out of like superlatives for him this season.
I remember
just
when
great.
We were first going to sign yeah. him, one of the things that I read about him, which I found was odd, I don't know why, but it's just I don't associate it with an outside back. Great in the air. Really great with his head. And that's something, it stuck mm-hmm. with me, and just because it was an unusual characteristic, I just didn't expect it. You know what he is? Those balls come across, and he's usually dominant in getting it out, you know, far post.
Mm. Deals with it.
You know, yeah. he deals with it every time, man. Yeah. It's really impressive, and it's a trait I've never appreciated in an outside back before.
Another unusual trait that he's got that I feel like we've got to give full credit to, the ability
oh my
to
God.
Throw that ball that far. Like,
he stepped over the line.
What is with that, by the way? I mean, his foot is clearly touching the line. I'm trying to figure out why people are saying it's a foul throw. The NBC commentators say they contacted some group and they said it was a foul throw. And I'm like, but his foot's touching the rule. Look at the rule. You know, how are people saying?
Yeah, I think what they tried to do is look at it like basketball. So if your foot's on the side on the line, then it's ball out. I think that's what they're trying to say. It's that kind of foul, but it's like, well, hang on, it's not basketball. Obviously, they're trying to make it a non-contact sport as it is. But, as he takes the throw, though, his foot comes back onto the white line. You know what I mean? It's not like it goes over, but he pulls it back before the release. So there's nothing wrong with it. And as long as you keep it on the line anyway, there's no foul. If they're over it, of course, then, yeah, it's a foul throw because then you're on the pitch. But if you're not on the pitch, so it's fine. It's just that I think he just ran out of an excuse. They need an excuse because piss poor defending, and they had nothing else.
We'll call it even for that offside goal he scored at the Emirates. Eh?
Which one's worse?
The cheekiest to know.
I know.
Two players offside and a goal. It's just like, oh yeah, his toes over the line on a throw in. Okay, that's the same.
Yeah, just
it's
to make
my ball over the quadrant thing again, isn't it? You know, lots of shite.
Yeah, I know. Rule books aside, just to make me point, how great is it that we're actually a threat from set pieces again? You know, with that Zuma corner from West Ham the other week, and now this. Like, and I include throw-ins in that. You know, it's great to see.
His throw-ins are like corners. That distance on it. That throw-in in that position is. As
I feel
good
like
as a
you
corner,
have
I think.
To. Almost treat it. I feel like you have to treat it like a corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the centre halves went up for it, so they've most definitely been practicing it.
Yeah. Either that or Jagiel could have run all that way and just banned out and couldn't get back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to laugh after games and not at ourselves. That's very fresh.
Yeah.
It makes a change, doesn't it? Definitely.
Yeah, hey, credit to Jordan Pickford too. Five clean sheets in our last six. That's
I'm going to say this guy too because I think we thought for a little while there he needed a big rest. Seamus Coleman.
Yeah, I'm Richarlison. Richarlison on the
yeah. Richarlison as well. Yeah, but I've been impressed with Pickford's punching over the last couple of weeks.
Ha ha ha! You were so witty, Terry. There you go. There you go, Ben. That's my real reaction whenever people say funny things like Thursday night Neymar. All right. So, all right. So, guys, good things. I mean,
Can I add
is there somebody else that started that we didn't compliment?
No. Something that I didn't find out, I put it on Twitter after the game and I didn't get a reply, right? When was the last time, I know we've got the chance to make it four on the bounce if we beat Fulham, but when was the last time Everton beat London opposition back-to-back-to-back? I want to find that out. I asked someone at the Echo, and they didn't know. So I just want to put that out to the audience to see if they know.
Put it in the comments or put it on Twitter for us. You see our Twitter handles there. Comments are there. We'd appreciate real answers and also jokey funny ones. Those are always welcome, just saying. But Max Rollins a real one. All right. So, anything else on this, gents? Feeling good?
I think watching Match of the Day yesterday, and we were the first game. We were the only game. But it was good to see. You know, they were talking to Calvert-Lewin after the game and with Ian Wright. Even Ian Wright was like, you know, Arsenal were shit. But Everton, the reason why is because Everton was so good. You know, and that makes a change rather than saying, like, at West Ham were just shit. That's all he was saying. West Ham were poor. This was a poor West Ham side. We know West Ham are poor. Everton was that good. You know, the same with the second half against Chelsea. You know, oh, Chelsea were poor. Yeah, no, Everton were better. You know, that, and that's, I think, yesterday proved something there that, like, you know, yeah, we realise Everton actually are good and are capable of doing this, and it's not the teams above us having poor performances. And to see that was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I think it's going to take us a little while to get out of this media narrative that we depend on shit performances from the opposition to actually play well. Maybe if we keep winning and actually keep putting up good performances, they'll start noticing. And it does seem like, I know the commentators for the NBC Sports were awful. They did nothing but, like, I've saw multiple people from around America saying, "Wow, these NBC guys hate Everton," and they just the narrative was all just all foul throw in and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty agitating, but it's just one of those things. I think it's just going to take a little bit, you know, to actually dig out of that kind of hole that we're in right now with the media. It's shitty, but it's the reality, and I hate being patient, but we're gonna have to. Yeah, I noticed the same thing, man, and it's pretty infuriating. But yeah, we can't really do anything about it except for put out our own content. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
yep,
exactly. Just like we're doing.
This is the best we can do, right? All right. So anyway, that is it for our Arsenal reaction. We could probably talk for another couple hours. I usually wear the same. If we're winning, I wear the same shirt. So I've been wearing the shirt from last season, the one that's not the most attractive thing. I've been wearing it ever since ever since we've been winning. It's getting funky, and I don't care. That's what I'm saying. Don't care. Not washing it. Don't care.
You don't have to wear it every day, you know.
All right. So that's it for our Arsenal reaction. We're going to talk about DCL now. We tried to hold back some of our DCL love in our previous. We kind of gave the love to every other player in blue instead. But this is kind of a DCL segment, and there's a lot to consider here. a lot of people are asking the question, and I don't want to ask this question because I feel like I know what these guys would say to it. A lot of people are asking the question, well, since DCL's playing great, does this mean we don't need a striker? That's not the question, I don't think. I feel like we look at the fact that we got Nias out on loan. We got Cenk Tosun, who's coming in short spurts and really not doing a whole lot. I feel like we need a striker regardless. You know what I mean? And it's not as huge of a priority as it was before, but we still need it. You know, so that's not really the question. We do need an additional center forward presence in our squad, though. I guess the question is, regardless of the purchase, is this DCL's job to lose coming up this fall? Because he's literally doing everything except scoring goals on a regular basis. I'd say maybe his decision-making needs a little bit of work too. But his clinical finishing and decision-making. But he's literally doing everything. Dave, what do you think? Is this his job to lose, man?
Yeah, I do. I think we've got in Calvert-Lewin, and I've heard it from so many people, you know, the way he plays is reminiscent of Graham Sharp in his early days as well. You know, Sharp, he's his presence, his ball, he can hold the ball up so well, he wins everything in the air. And it is his to give away, really. The thing he's got to do is score goals, because in the end, that's what he'll be judged on. He's not going to, he can be, you know, it's like Strachalacy. He's like, oh yeah, he was great. He ran around a lot. He, you know, he wore his heart on his chest and stuff like that. Didn't score goals. So we offloaded them, you know, so we made that change. He was dog, let's be honest. Like, but you know, that's probably a poor example, but he'll be judged on his goals. And that is striker's career, basically. You know, the goals will be his history rather than, oh, he ran around a lot, he won everything in the air. It's down to Everton, though, to nurture his talent, to give him... He needs the goals, but he needs the service to go with it, and that's what we sort of lack at the moment. So as much as it's in Calvert-Lewin's hands to do it, it's in Everton as a team, collective, to give him that opportunity to score goals.
Yeah. Service is going to be key, but actually getting him in the game, I think, is going to be a huge thing. Max, let's go to you next. Do you see a situation possible where we make a purchase and we start that new player over DCL in the fall?
Yeah, predicated on. Yeah? I agree on what Dave said, that, you know, strikers are judged by the goal return, and just 6 goals for Everton so far this season. It, you know, I think this season's been the season where we've seen the most, you know, a lot of development in terms of his technical ability, his physical ability. But we know what it's like to have a 15-20 a season striker in Romelu Lukaku, and the case is, you know, still open. We haven't replaced them in that, you know, really. But you know, I don't want to set that tone. I do want to give Calvert-Lewin credit for how he's come on in these last couple of weeks. Because if you cast your mind back before that 17-day break before Cardiff, we got beat by Watford 1-0, and, you know, Silva rolled with Tosin up front there. We got beat 1-0. Mm-hmm. We've had that break, and he started with Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin scored, repaid his faith there against Cardiff. And I think the biggest game for Calvert-Lewin for me was that Merseyside derby where he was up against Virgil van Dijk. Mm-hmm. Virgil van Dijk was probably first to every ball, but I feel like as a young striker, Calvert-Lewin would have learned a hell of a lot up against a defender that good. And that, you know, that was there for all to see against Chelsea, where he gave Antonio Rudiger, you know, ran him ragged and stretched the pitch, hold the ball up exceptionally well. And we've seen that at its best against West Ham, and in this example, and against Arsenal, yeah. Because he gave their back three, you know, he was all over the place against their back three, and it was great to see an Everton striker with that willingness to run. And I will say as well, he's leading from the front with that pressing game. You've seen him closing down Bernd Leno, forcing mistakes out of Leno. Mm-hmm. That is what Evertonians want to see from the centre forward. All it needs now is goals. And given the way he's playing, you know, I think he's nailed on to have a continued run in the side. Just, you know, that final ball. I seen Kevin Campbell talking to him after the game and giving him advice of what he needs to improve on. And then that was basically the advice that Kevin Campbell passed on to him. It's just getting in that box and, you know, that final touch, that finish, or you know, that final decision making. That's all that needs to be improved for me, but he's been exceptional.
Yeah. I mentioned decision-making earlier just because he gets into these positions where you're thinking, okay, now is where he should be slotting, you know, sliding a pass to the right to Richarlison, or, you know, and he just, or there was one moment last game, yesterday, where he had the ball, and instead of sliding it to the left to Bernard, who was open, he tried to do a little like step over move, and it just didn't come off for him. I think it ended up like getting blocked. It's just one of those moments where it's going to come with time. We're talking about a skilled, intelligent player. It's going to come, and I think the finishing is going to come as well. I just think that's something that's, you know, you gradually learn as a striker where you need to be positioning in order to get more goals, so that people can find you in the air. But it's also us figuring out, you know, it's chemistry as well. The wingers kind of knowing where he's going to be usually. The more they play together, they know where each other's going to be a lot more. Terry, I was going to roll with you next. One of the things about DCL that I've noticed is I never really noticed our strikers winning 50-50 balls, like goal kicks or anything like that, until DCL. You know, Tosin was getting out-jumped for them. Like, I even thought Lukaku used to get out-jumped for them often, as big as that dude was. People would sit there. I always felt like he was kind of shy on headers. And DCL has none of that. He's very fearless when it comes to that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of his game. I actually think it gives us a little second life on that. You know what I mean? What are some other parts of his game that you feel like people aren't really noticing as much, just if they're maybe not fans, they don't watch him every game.
I think Calvert-Lewin's biggest strength is how selfless he is. Like, he facilitates the game of a lot of the other players, which is why you see more goals out of the collective attacking unit when he's in there rather than Tosin. And it's probably why, you've touched on it yourselves, his decision-making needs work as well. But I think a lot of the reason he's not scored more goals is he's being so, selfless, and he's not actually getting himself in goal-scoring positions. He's putting himself in positions to help the other players. He's pressuring, off the ball, he's pressuring the opposition defence. He's winning headers. Like, at one point, he won a header yesterday against Arsenal. And it was like a flick-on through ball to Richarlison, who got onto it. And it was just like, we got used to Lukaku not bringing any other players into play at all. Yeah. Like, he couldn't really make chances for other players, but he made up for that by just that being absolutely deadly himself. And when you took him out of the team, the rest of the team was sort of geared to facilitate one player. They weren't goal scorers themselves. Whereas now we've got, double-digit goals for Sigurdsson, double-digit goals for Richarlison. And I think Calvert-Lewin has helped a lot with their game in the last few weeks. They're finding more space, they're finding themselves with better chances just because he's pulling defenders left, right and centre. And I've got to be honest, I'm a converted Calvert-Lewin sceptic. I couldn't see it at first. And I think a lot of fans were like that. I just thought he was of a certain level and he wasn't going to get any better. But I'm happy to say he's proved me wrong in the last couple of weeks. He's come on quite a lot. And he knows himself. He said on Sky Sports before the game, they did a little feature with him. And he said, I am goals away from taking the next step. Which means if he can add more goals to his game, if he can start being 15 goals plus a season striker, he will play for England. He will get, these call-ups. He will make that move in everyone's mind from being a young striker who works hard and has good potential to being, he can hang. He's one of the Premier League strikers. He's one of the first choice number nines for one of the better teams. Now, when you asked the other guys before as well about starting next season, I think 1,000% he's going to start next season. I think we will buy someone in the summer, but I don't think I wouldn't put my life on it, would not being a player or two who aren't from the Premier League, who won't go straight in the team. I think they'll be introduced slowly. And I think with Calvert-Lewin, you've got the luxury of doing that because you can put him in start him next season. And then any players you bring in can be introduced slowly, maybe work with Calvert-Lewin because he can play right across the front three. I mean, he's much better down the middle, but he's such a useful player for other players. Other players play better when he's in the team. Even Lukaku, when Calvert-Lewin was playing, Lukaku always had more chances. I always found it was the only sort of cross pattern that very last season. But and Calvert-Lewin was still learning his game because something else I didn't know about Calvert-Lewin, which only came out on Sunday, was that just before we signed him, he'd only played like half a season or a season as a striker. He was a central midfielder. So he's come a long way in a very quick time. Like, physically, he's got all the tools. It's just about learning things, and he's getting faith shown in him. So he knows if he starts to score goals, that any new striker that Everton bring in, they might not be able to get him out the team. He's got the shape for a while longer. He needs to make sure it is, because Everton as a club need strikers, even if they keep him, because they can't just have one. Well, not if they keep him, even they stick with him in the team, because the other strikers are all they're all up for sale. Basically, they're all not got much of a future. He's the only one who's got one, so he knows there'll be new faces coming in who want that starting shirt off him, and he's going to have to show, no, I've lost this before, and I'm not losing it again.
Yeah.
Good shout.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree. I do think he will be starting, assuming he's healthy come August. Or if Europa League happens come July. That's an or. Just say it. You never know.
I want it.
Yeah, we all want it. I'll just go ahead and tell you. We talked about it last time. We want it really bad.
It amazes me how many people say, I don't want the Europa League this season. It'll mess with our the performance can't be any worse than this season. I want European, I want European football. I love these away trips. They're brilliant. You know, I want to go to like Bratislava, or I want to go to frigging Russia or wherever. Yeah, let's bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't. I feel left out watching, because I just like watching football, period. You know what I mean? So I was watching Mexican League yesterday with my kid just because it was what was on, you know. And so I just like when Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday midweek football comes on, we're not in it, it pisses me off. It makes me feel left out. I'm like, you know what, we've got enough talent to be able to handle this. So if it ends up working out, great. You know what I mean? If we get it, great. I say that only because I'm trying to figure out how the hope's gonna work. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where I want us to continue this run. And if my shirt can stand up by itself because I haven't washed it, and if I can use it like as a little lampstand if I have to, then great. You know what I mean? That's the preference, except for maybe not for my family, because they have to smell it. But yeah, if we end up continuing this run, that would be badass. I always smile at getting confident in Everton, if that makes sense. It's different. It's kind of nice. So anyway, back to DCL. Anything else on this young guy? We're talking about one of our fastest players, maybe our fastest player. I think he's our fastest player. If you look at the speed readings that they come out with every once in a while, I think he's one of the fastest players in the league. But also, he's gotten strong. The kid's gotten be pretty jacked, yeah. And his hold-up play is actually really good now. Yeah. That's the thing that I was not seeing as much of last season. And he's actually able to hold some of these stronger defenders off, and that's a part of the game that's essential for Premier League because it's so physical.
Yeah, he's definitely he's been hitting the gym, definitely. I mean, it's not like Lukaku was hitting the pies, and you know, you see the picture of Lukaku at one point where he's like, oh god, he actually looks pretty ripped here playing forever, and then he goes to United and turned into a balloon. But Calvert-Lewin has gone from the scrawny kid who was rapid, and we all knew he could run, we knew he could play, to this grown man.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in a matter of months, he's developed so much. I mean, you see the photos of him, those thigh muscles.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, like Roberto Carlos. Unbelievable. And, you know, it shows he's willing to put in the work, he's willing to put in the effort and, you know, build on his work on his performance. And I'm so looking forward to this kid scoring goals. If he can put goals into his game, we've got an absolute world beater. And full credit to David Unsworth for bringing him in.
Yeah. I just keep thinking that composure is going to come. You know, I feel like you see it with like strikers that are new into a league, or just whenever they age up, it just takes them a while to get that composure. You know, and the best one, I mean, he's literally got everything else. So
I think if he can bring someone like Bernard into the game, where Bernard can get you like 10, 11, 12 goals a season as well, with Calvert-Lewin bringing him into the play more, it'll do. Calvert-Lewin then knows, right, okay, I've got a command and role here up front. I can bring players into the game, and I can get into opportunities now where people are creating chances for me, especially with Bernardo. You know, yeah. You saw that chance that he had where it was straight at the keeper in the end, unfortunately, from that run.
Yeah, but I forgot about that one.
Calvert-Lewin switches on and he's in the box. There's a square ball there for him. You know, it's little things like that, little nuances that'll come with experience. And I think Calvert-Lewin's got so much time on his hands to learn the game as well.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about it. He's young, loads of time, and Silva's got time for him as well. When you look at players who he has given time to, like Luckman, you know, everyone was saying, oh, well, why isn't Luckman playing? So, well, maybe he's not got the same attitude as DCL. So, you know, his attitude, everything about Calvert-Lewin, apart from goals, he's almost the perfect package.
Yeah, I think.
And so. He's a hunk.
John likes his thigh muscles. He's dreamy. It's just, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gomez, watch out. You're not the only one drawing the eye these days at Everton. See, I what's funny is like I was gonna build on that point, and then you started talking about how he's an attractive fellow, and now I can't think of anything else.
It's you're just thinking about his thighs now. See, everyone does. between that and Gomez's beard, it's like, you know, what else are you gonna think about?
We are helpless against it. We cannot form thoughts once it gets in here. yeah. So anyway, well, oh, I remember. Hey, thighs gone, wiped. Silva, the way Silva's style works, I'd be really curious. It seems as though Silva's a big believer in getting goals from lots of locations and not really thinking, hey, I want a 30 goal scorer. It's more like, let's get 12, let's get 10, let's get 15, and kind of just move it around so that you're not as easy to kind of lock down. Because if you get a 30 goal scorer, then it's like the other team can gear toward one player, and if it's everyone, it's a little bit tougher to game plan for.
I think that goes back to when Lukaku was back at Everton and he'd scored 18, 19 goals. And you know, Steve Walsh came out with that ever amazing comment. Even without Lukaku's goals, we're finishing seventh. Unbelievable. Still bewilders me how he come up with that. But I see what you're saying, Jerry. It's like, you know, you have to take that striker out, and then the goals have got to come around the rest of the team. You know, Digne's chipped in with a couple, and you know, he should be taking more. Sigurdsson, what, 12, 13 goals? Richarlison on 13. You know, Calvert-Lewin's only on 6. But it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, he'd bring other players into the game who were scoring goals, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, Terry, your point about him not being selfish, being a very unselfish player, it's his work rate to bring and like doing things for the team. You know, when Silva was talking about Lookman, he was hinting that Lookman's not really consistent in practice, in training. You know, it seems like DCL is. So.
Yeah.
Anything else, gents? Max, you look like you got something to say.
I was just going to say, don't trash Lookman.
I'm not completely trashing him. I'm being nice.
Oh, right. There may be an attitude problem. He may be inconsistent in training. But for me, I love seeing Lookman and DCL in the same side. Mm. You know, they get on exceptionally well in the under-23 set up at England and seem to combine very well on the pitch. So I'd like to see, and I mean, I know it's obviously harder to get in the team with how well Richarlison and how well Bernard are playing at the minute. It's harder to get into the team, but I'd love to see Lookman given the same treatment at one point, you know, a consistent run in the game.
I could see him getting it at some point, but he did play, and I think getting that time, I think is Silva saying, hey, you're training better, you're looking a lot better, and that's why I'm putting you in. You know what I mean? That seems like it's a message. Silva seems to like to give those messages to players. You know what I mean? Reward playing the way he did with Schneiderlin. You remember Schneiderlin?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Max loves Schneiderlin. And he can say that now because Schneiderlin started playing better. Yeah. But now he's hurt. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out why he wasn't on the bench, and then I heard later he was injured. So, which meant when Keane going out, McCarthy was on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
James McCarthy sighting. Yeah, I'm good with that. So, all right, guys. Anything else on DCL other than, hey, let's play the kid and hope it works out? Yeah?
Nope. That sounds about right. Sums it up nicely.
Right on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Dave, Terry, and Max in a cage match of Toffee's wit and might. And I'm going to have to say triple threat because Max wants me to be on my shit here. Like WrestleMania, apparently. All right, so.
I'm not allowed to say what I said.
And I can't say three-way. All right, so this is going to be a Price is Right type of thing. So Ben, if you want to throw in a little bit of Price is Right music, and I'll be Bob Barker, and hopefully the fighting skills transfer to the golf course the way old Bob does in Happy Gilmore. There you go. So the way this is going to work is I have some former Everton players listed on this this note card right here. And I also have their transfer fees, the amount for which they left Everton. It is including add-ons, the ones that I have written down. So, the deal is this, gentlemen. Price is Right style, we're going to rotate who goes first. But obviously, we're going to need to flip something. Let's flip. You know what? Let's go back to a memory card. This is my memory card. I don't have change because I fear it. So here you go. This is a memory card. This is heads. This is tails. Dave, if you could call it in the air.
Heads.
It is tails. All right? So now I'm left with the fact that Dave is not going first. What the hell? This coin flip thing doesn't even work to figure out who goes first. Dave, who do you want to go first? Max or Terry?
You're smiling the most while we're still on Skype here. Go on. Oh, it's got to be Terry.
Terry is going to be first. Max is second. Dave is third. And then we will rotate. Max will be first, then Dave, and like that. Okay? So, and yeah, and if the person before you guesses an amount that you wanted to guess, I can't really help you. It's one of those things where if you got to go first, you got to go first. And I think on Price is Right, they're kind of like unforgiving as well on that kind of thing. So, oh well. So, all right, here we go. So, now that we've had the Price is Right music, Ben, if you could cue some super, like, intense music on this now. Good, I like that.
I can't actually hear it.
All right, so, Terry, you're going first. For what price did we sell Victor Anichebe?
£6 million.
Max, Victor Anichebe.
£5 million for West Bromwich Albion.
I wish I could give you extra credit, Max, but for saying the team, but I can't. But you're right. I was going to say that. So, Dave, what do you got?
7.5.
The correct answer, gentlemen, to the dot, the Tear Bear comes through with £6 million.
I knew it was over,
mate. Yeah. Ready? I could tell Max thought Terry was right because he said it in this, like, dejected, defeated tone. $5 million.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, but fear not, Max. You're going first this time. All right? So, by the way, we are playing to three. So, Terry has one. Max.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a pretty sound performance yesterday, Jerry De La Feu.
Oh, you're a bastard, because there's gonna be add-ons all over the place here. £12 million.
So, here's the thing. I just want to say, I'm not sure if all of the add-ons, like, that were possible when we sold him to Barca, have gone through or whatever. So, that's what
okay.
I want to say.
Oh, God, you put me on the spot, because I know it was a bit cut price if all the add-ons didn't cash in. What did I say originally? I'll just stick
you
with
said,
the guns.
Did you say 12?
12.
12, I was thinking.
Max says 12 million. Dave, what do you got?
8.5.
Terry.
£13 million.
The actual retail price of Gerard De La Feu, £10.6 million. And that actually makes Max the closest. I believe that is correct. Yes, it is.
He's not going.
See, that's the thing. If he goes over, we're playing this like, if we play it exactly, he technically went over, but he's the closest. We've had issues in the past.
I know.
So yeah, we have to extend the rules just a little bit. Dave's brought up a very valid point here, but yeah, so Max technically the closest on that one. And Dave, you can post an appeal with our appeals coordinator, Webmaster John, also known as Quizmaster John. Yes.
I'm writing this down. Yeah. Sounds. Yeah, doing that.
All right. Dave, you're going first this time. Michael Ball.
Oh, was that the Rangers or Eindhoven? 5 million.
I feel like I can tell you who it was to. Don't you, that guys? Don't you think I can say who it was to? It was to Rangers.
Yeah.
I believe Terry, you are next.
5.5 million.
Terry, are you playing the game? Max, what do you got, man?
Can I say 5 million?
No.
No?
That's a fight to the death.
Yeah. Six.
Six. Why'd you say it like that, Max? You think six is wrong?
Probably.
See, hear that doubtful tone? Yet you're the closest. Direct actual retail price of Michael Ball, 6.5.
Okay, I remember Dave did a fantastic interview with him quite earlier on for the Toffee Brews. I remember that. It was very insightful.
That brings us back around to Terry. Oh, by the way, Max, you're one away from victory. Just saying. So, guys, block this dude.
Game on.
Terry, Andy Johnson.
Good one, because I cannot remember. 13 million pounds.
Is this buying or selling?
Selling.
Selling? Okay.
All right. I believe Max, you're next.
12.5 million pounds. Dave. 13.5. Because everyone knows who's right.
They've boxed in now, so unless I'm exactly right, one of them will win.
So, gentlemen, the according to the website, 10.5 million to Fulham.
Was it 10.5, was it?
10.5 million. Which
we're crap at this, aren't we?
That puts Max in with three.
Not bad.
And that does give him the victory there.
Well done, mate.
All right.
Thank you very much.
So although we shouldn't count a couple of those because Max didn't think he was right. So, you know.
And he bust on one.
Yeah, he did. That's right. So Dave's appealing. John, you can expect an indignant email from Dave, which is really just a picture of his middle finger. So, Max, congratulations. You're the winner this time. And what track are you dropping to close the show?
Voodoo Child, Hendrix.
So here's a question. That's what I was about to say, pod people out there. You can't see, but Max is literally wearing a Hendrix shirt. So, Max, is this a new sponsorship you've got? Where you're they're like, here's a shirt, here's a bunch of money. Make sure you spread the word about Jimi Hendrix, as though people don't know.
I wish.
Where you got? Like, we can't see, but Max has some like Jimi Hendrix slides on right now.
No, Adidas slides, mate. You're not getting anything.
I like the way you correct me as though Jimi Hendrix slides exist. You're like, no, I'd never get those. I threw those out months ago. Voodoo Child, that's a good one. That is very good. Love the Jimmy. Every single time I think of Jimmy, I think of the movie White Men Can't Jump from the 90s, where Wesley Snipes keeps telling Woody Harrelson he can't hear Jimmy. Yeah.
What's he supposed to do? Eat it?
No, he's like, I like to listen to it. He's like, you can't hear Jimmy. He's like, you don't listen to Jimmy, you hear it. It's like a big argument. That movie does not get remembered the way it should, because it's kind of great. So, why, besides the fact that it's just awesome, why are you picking Voodoo Child?
Big Hendrix fan, and what I also find quite funny is he's born on the 27th of November, which is the same as my little sister, who was born on the 27th of November 2010. On that day, Everton got beat 4-1 at home by West Brom. And my little sister came along after it. It was a good end to the day, you know what I mean? I got a little sister out of it, but can you imagine getting beat 4-1 by West Brom and West Brom at home?
I thought you were gonna tell me and the guy who scored against his name was Hendrix.
Yeah, we called my little sister Jimmy.
Yeah.
and
she's left-handed and all this stuff.
In the spirit of WrestleMania as well, that Max touched on before, it's Voodoo Child was actually for a long spell Hulk Hogan's entrance music.
I didn't even know that.
When he moved from WWF to WCW, he couldn't use Real American because WWF owned the copyright. So he used Voodoo Child when he was a bad guy. So Voodoo Child was Hulk Hogan's bad guy entrance song.
That is hilarious. But thanks, Terry. You just pushed the last bit of math I had out of my head with Hulk Hogan entrance music information. I can no longer do basic multiplication. All right, guys, so we should wrap up the show. This has been super fun, but I literally can't do a show all day. I know. Maybe one day we'll do it. Can't do it this time. So that's the end of the big show as we listen to Jimmy. I mean, technically someone's putting it in post-production. We're going to pretend like we hear it right now, though, so there's that. Thanks so much for listening. We sincerely appreciate it. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Thanks so much for all that. If you feel the need to see our faces, if you're one of those weird people who likes to see people's faces, check out our YouTube channel. Why not? It doesn't hurt you, unless it does, and if it does, I'm sorry. But also check out Falcon Blues. Dave has a channel as well, and it's fun. And they do a lot of really good interviews. We've talked about it a lot on the podcast here today. Frankly, if you're not sold on checking them out yet, I don't know if you ever will be, because he's given a lot of reasons to check them out at this point. All right. So Dave, I just want to, say thanks a lot, man, for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
This has been fun. Yeah, please do. This is great. if you want more Terry, just walk up to him on the street and hug him. That's our thing now. That's our thing. Terry is going to be the most huggable man in all of Britain. You know, it's just going to happen. So, yeah. Anyway, but he also, Liverpool Echo fan jury, if you want to hug his words with your eyes. Max has a lot of irons in the fire. We're going to be able to start publicizing those at some point. But until that time, please check out his Twitter. He'll tell you when he's going to be dropping some Everton knowledge on the Toffee Blues website. Because that's a regular thing. He and a lot of our other friends, they contribute there often. It's just all things Everton. Lots of good stuff there. You should just subscribe to the Toffee Blues. We'd sincerely appreciate that. Actually, you can find the Falcon Blues on social media as well. All right. They're really active on social media. It's one of the cool things. That's one of the things I'll just go ahead and tell you, man. It tells me a lot when the fact that there's a cool community of fan groups that will all retweet each other's stuff, like each other's stuff. It's good mojo. It's great. It's all good for the club, and it's just good for everybody. That just tells me how much of a class act you guys are. So thanks for that.
Cheers.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. That's it. I've got no more plugging. I'm about to unplug. Terry, good to see you again, man.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Terry, and I apologize for all the hugs you're getting these days. Or you're welcome. How about that? Max, man, again, man, as always, love talking to you, brother.
As always, great to be on with you and meet you as well, Dave.
Yeah, you too, mate. Thanks a lot.
So, Dave, again, take care, man. Come on back. And, yeah, that's it. Let's go into the midweek with Perma Smiles that won't leave. Yeah, they're playing well. All right, much love to everybody. Enjoy, Jimmy. Bye.